Well, welcome to Witness Wednesday. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Wood, at the LCMS Office of National Mission, here live, for a change, in the studios of Worldwide KFUO Radio with Andy Bates.
Hey, glad to have you back in the studio.
Well, it's good to be, my feet on the ground anyway, somewhere. Why not here?
We mentioned yesterday, you're kind of serving as a ministry to the airlines as well, as much as you travel to support congregations and districts.
Yeah, and it's been a lot of fun and interesting and enriching to be out and about the country visiting different congregations and districts and seeing the work that they're doing and the increased interest there is in equipping people to be able to share the good news of Jesus. And but then I come back here and I sit in meetings like I've been in the last week, and part of these meetings I get bombarded with statistics and demographics, and they paint a different picture. I just want to briefly mention, some of the things that statistically are going on in the world and in the church in America particularly. And the numbers are rather disturbing when you look at them.
Numbers are all law, just in case you forgot.
Yeah, I think they are. And so the numbers tell the story, that the Missouri Synod peaked in the number of baptisms in 1959. And not surprisingly, 13 years later, peaked in the number of confirmations in 1972. And that the medium age of an LCMS member is 57. And I said, whoa, I was baptized in 59 and I was confirmed in 72 and I'm 57. So I guess I am the Missouri Synod. maybe I was destined to be tasked with the revitalization initiative. as we look at those numbers, they're all showing decline. And
wait, are you declining?
I am declining, yes. That we're an aging church body, we're diminishing in numbers. There's a lot of doom and gloom associated with these numbers.
What about the numbers of hairs
on
our heads?
The Lord says he knows the number of hairs on our head, but in my case, he said, there's other things I want to focus on right now in your life, so we're just going to let that go. And it's just as well. And by his grace, I now have freedom from follicles. So, I'm hearing all these numbers, and I'm hearing that this trend is going to continue. We don't have enough children coming in the pipeline to reverse the trend until such and such happens, and all this and that. And I'm just thinking to myself, well, wait a minute. Is the Great Commission, is the call of our Savior to, hey, take care of your own? Make sure you have lots of babies so that you can raise them in the church, so the church numbers stay strong. Certainly there's the call to, multiply and fill the earth and bring forth children. Those are wonderful blessings. Mm-hmm. But is that something we should count on for the longevity and sustainability of a church body? And so that's a discussion that's taking place. And from my perspective, I'm saying, well, isn't this a call for us to reach out to the world around us, to bring the good news of Jesus to people who are outside of our church and invite them into our church, and rather than say, oh, doom and gloom, our church is going to decrease. We're going to see this. And so we've had some discussions around the idea of what does it take? What does it take for a church body like ours, it's aging and declining in numbers, and yet very strong and vibrant in its confession to mm-hmm. counteract these trends?
Perhaps this is semantics, but maybe it has something to do with whose church we call it.
True. And, we look at the church overall, the church at large, the universal or Catholic church. And in America, the picture is no better. But we're who we are. We're the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, mm-hmm. and we're called to steward the resources we've been given. What are we going to do with that?
Absolutely.
And so witness is something that we want to focus in on and say, well, what do we mean by witness, and how has it impacted these numbers and trends? Because the word witness is a word that really portrays giving a testimony or making a statement or verifying something as true or factual. And even though when we talk about witness on Witness Wednesday, we're talking about evangelism. The word witness really is broader than that. So in the Old Testament, you see witness, a lot of witnessing going on. You know, Abraham comes to this new land that God has promised him, and he witnesses to God's promise and purpose by building an altar. And that altar then stands as a witness. Over and over again, we see the people of Israel, you know, setting up altars or stones or pillars as a witness, and they're testifying to the truth. When our children are born into the church and we take them to the baptismal font, that's a witness, right? You know, witnessing to the world that God's grace and life and salvation come to children in baptism, and that this child is now incorporated into the body of Christ. When we raise our children in the church and model the Christian life for them and teach them the ways of the Lord and teach them the catechism and Bible stories in the home, that's a witness. But you notice that the witness in these contexts is sort of an internal witness to the church. It's it's an important witness. It's a very important witness. In fact,
is it similar to when we confess the creed together on Sunday morning?
Absolutely, that's a witness.
It's a witness. You know, I believe in God the Father Almighty. Right. Not only am I speaking that to God, but I'm also speaking it before my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right. Yeah, and some congregations even have a habit of having people turn and face each other as they say the creed. And some pastors will say the creed facing the congregation. Some will, face the altar, is because the creed is also a prayer.
Right.
So there's no absolutely, quote, right way to do it, but there are different ways of thinking about the creed.
Certainly.
That when we say the creed, we are bearing witness to one another. But until we take that creed out into the world, we're not bearing witness to the world. And herein is kind of a subtle hint into the problem we have, is we've kept our witness very closed inside of the church. And we kind of expect people from the world to find us. And then when they do find us, they find a treasure. You know, here's this beautiful theology and worship practice and clear confession of Jesus in the creed and other ways. But we wait for them to come to us. And we even call things outreach that are really, we're sitting here doing our thing, and if you find us, great. It's good for you. The big challenge we face is, how do we take that witness out into the world? Now, anybody who walked by a pillar in the Old Testament, you know, would see this is something. You know, there's something here. Mm-hmm. You know, and depending on how that pillar was built or if there's any information left with or anything, maybe it conveyed a message. But if it was just a pillar, a pile of rocks, you know, only the people who had inside knowledge would know what it meant. So it became an internal witness. Just having a church building in a community doesn't mean anything to people who are outside the church, who don't understand what takes place in that church.
Well, they have assumptions about that.
Sure.
And what might happen in there.
But it's amazing how fewer and fewer people actually have any knowledge of what goes on inside of a church. We live in a culture now where many people, possibly a majority of people, in certain demographic segments, have no idea of what a church is, or why is this here? What do they do in that church? So I'm reminded of when I was in Portland, Oregon a few months ago, I drove by a building that, I forget what the fancy title for this is, but people who collect stamps. And it's an associate. It was a society for stamp collecting, and they had a building. They had a building for stamp collecting. I guess it's a big thing in Portland. I mean, when the sun never shines and you're always inside, I guess you got to do stamp collecting or something. And before people do write in and complain about me picking on stamp collectors, as a child, I did stamp collecting. Okay. So I'm perfectly good with it. But what struck me about this building was they had a big sign out front that said, you know, such and such kind of meeting every Thursday at such time, all are welcome. Something tells me they probably didn't have a flood of people to their Thursday morning just because they put a sign out front that said, we're having this kind of meeting. And I thought, well, isn't that really a picture of the church? Because for someone who knows nothing about stamp collecting, really, and doesn't really have a big interest in stamp collecting anymore, I drive by and see the sign and say, oh, whatever. How about the unchurched people in our communities? You know, we may feel like we're making a witness just by being present in the community and having a church and offering divine service, and it is a witness, but it's really an internal witness to the world. They drive by and look at the sign and say, yeah, whatever. So our challenge right now is to take our witness into the world. As a church body, you know, how do we carry that witness into the world collectively? But it really almost always boils down to individually. How do each one of us take that witness into the world as the church? Mm-hmm. You know? So that creed we're saying on Sunday morning is something we carry into the workplace, and we carry into the schools, we carry into our neighborhoods, and in the context of our everyday lives.
Well, it shapes everything that we do, does it not? It shapes how we interact with others, how we even perceive things around us.
Certainly should. It's who we are.
Right.
And you know, we can't be two different people. You know, one that recites the creed with, you know, heartfeltly convicted with conviction on Sunday, and then live a different life the rest of the week. I mean, we can't be those. We can't be two different people. So yes, that the creed that we confess is a statement of who we are. And it should shape our view of the world, how we interact with the world, and how we understand our purpose in the world. And until we carry that out into the world, take our witness into the world, I'm afraid we're going to be faced with these statistical realities. But we don't have to live with that. You know, our answer to the demographer's doom and gloom is, you know, we have a message of life and salvation, not a life of dwindling and death. Okay, so,
right.
But if we hide it away, it doesn't do anybody any good. We need to, well, what did Jesus say? Stand up on the rooftops and shout it out, you know, and as a image. It's let it be well known in our communities, in our lives. Let our witness move from an internal witness to an external witness, where now we're engaging people who know nothing of Jesus, know nothing of his church, so they become aware and informed. And that's when we talk about witness on Witness Wednesday, or everyone a witness, we're talking about that external witness.
Mm-hmm.
We don't discount the internal witness. That's so important in the formation of us as God's people, in the raising up of our families in the church. It's so foundational.
Sure. And you want to have that strong foundation if you're witnessing and hoping that someone will come join in that body of Christ, that congregation where they're nurtured, where they're taught God's word more in-depthly.
Yeah, you have no external witness if you don't have the internal witness.
Right.
So, and we look to Jesus, of course, as the ultimate witness. You know, and he comes, you know, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile, right? He starts with the internal, but he doesn't stop there. And he tells them, look, I have sheep that don't belong to this fold, other sheep. And so I have to bear witness to them too. I have to take this good news to them. And that's how he leaves us. He says, yes, you have this internal witness. You build up each other, encourage one another with these words, strengthen one another,
mm-hmm.
But don't stop there. Take it out into the world, because you're a city on a hill. You know, you're a light in a dark place, and it's not meant to be hidden, but to be shared with all around. So
those numbers and those statistics, are certainly to be taken into consideration. But what shapes our witness more, what shapes our interaction with the world around us is that word of God, this confession of God's word that we have as well. That shapes our witness more than these numbers or statistics.
It, absolutely. And the word of God brings life where there's death. And that's, you know, so if we're worried about declining and aging and all that, all we need to do is look to our Savior Jesus, who brings forth new life, not just in us individually, but in his church collectively, as we bear witness to him in the world.
Certainly. He talked about life, giving life and life to the fullest, right?
Absolutely. Abundant life.
Now, it's different when it comes to hair, though.
Well, that we one day, perhaps we'll all be blessed with freedom from follicles.
So. Well, let's put out our email address as well for those who might like to share a question or a story with us, a witness story, lassie@kfuo.org. You can share that with, send us an email. We'd be glad to take your questions, comments, stories for Witness Wednesday, lassie@kfuo.org. Now, are you on the road next week as well?
Oh, this weekend I am heading up to Grand Rapids and working with a congregation who wants to reach out to their community. And the following weekend, I'm in Winnetta, Nebraska, doing another workshop for reaching out with that good news of Jesus.
Well, thanks be to God for these many congregations and districts who want to reach out with that good news of Jesus in their communities.
Taking what we've been so blessed to have and sharing it with others.
News Day Liturgical Arts glorifies God in so many ways you could look at their website for days. You get art for show and sale, artistic expertise you'll hail. That's how